Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of December 14, week 3 of Advent. This week, peace is our focus. I'm Dan Nygaard. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and this week, Hope Community's focus is peace. Nobel Peace Prize winner Maria Corina Machado from Venezuela showed up a day late to the award ceremony in Oslo, Norway. How is it that the Nobel Peace Prize winner was late to the award ceremony? The Marxist government of Venezuela has forced Maria Corina Machado into hiding. Ms. Machado has been a champion of democracy and free speech and free elections, and for that, she is a criminal in the eyes of the government of Venezuela. When the Nobel Committee announced that she was the recipient of the 2025 Nobel Peace Prize, the government of Venezuela prohibited her leaving the country. Ms. Machado did manage to leave the country in disguise. She had to sneak her way past 10 checkpoints. Then she was deposited on an abandoned beach in Venezuela, where just offshore a fishing boat was waiting to pick her up. After picking her up, that fishing boat for some reason failed to rendezvous with the ship that was going to transport Ms. Machado to a nearby country. As a result, they spent the entire night lost at sea on a darkened fishing boat. As dawn approached, they did rendezvous with the ship, and the ship took them to a nearby island. There, the exhausted and fatigued Ms. Machado just had to rest for several hours. After she had rested a few hours, a private jet, donated by an international supporter, flew her from that South American country island to Maine in the United States, where they refueled. Then they flew on from Maine to Oslo, Norway. Ms. Machado arrived in Oslo several hours after her daughter had received the prize in her name. Ms. Machado plans to return to Venezuela. The government of Venezuela has announced she will not be allowed to return. This is just one more picture of how the powers that be in our world oppose any peace that does not conform with their own priorities and power. In Iran, this week, a very similar event is going on, where a previous Nobel Peace Prize recipient, Narges Mohammadi, has been arrested by the Iranian government. The world in which we live is packed with powers that will only accept peace if it validates and confirms their own power and authority. In the Nativity story, angels announce to the shepherds the divine promise of peace on earth. Today we are going to focus upon the teachings of Jesus Christ about peace. And the hard message of Jesus Christ is that peace is available only through Him. He is the peace of the world. We're going to be looking at John chapter 14, which is John's summary of Jesus last night after His Last Supper, before He was arrested. John packs an awful lot of Jesus' teaching into those few hours. That last night with His disciples, Jesus taught them that leaders do servanthood. Remember the story how Jesus washed His disciples' feet. He took on the lowest job of a servant. That night, Jesus predicted that one of His apostles would betray Him. And He predicted that they would all deny Him. Jesus then went on to comfort his apostles, comfort the people who were going to betray him, comfort those who were going to deny him. Jesus claimed that he is the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus promised that night the Spirit of truth, that Spirit, that Holy Spirit that was already present with and in the disciples, would manifest the power of God through the work of the disciples. And finally, Jesus promised life. He said in John chapter 14, verse 19, "Because I live, you also will live." If you have your Bibles or your smartphone, turn with me to John chapter 14, verses 22 through 27. In this chapter, the Apostle John summarizes the powerful, important teachings of Jesus Christ that he gave to his apostles in those few hours prior to his arrest and subsequent crucifixion. During that intense time of teaching, verse 22 picks up the account. "Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, 'But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?' Jesus replied, 'Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, my prayer is that Jesus alone be exalted. Amen. So this Advent season, year 2025, we live in a world in which peace is sorely lacking. Now, thankfully, for about the last 80 years, humanity has dodged a great war, any kind of great war like World War I, World War II. You can go right down through history and see cataclysmic wars. But for the last 80 years, we've managed to dodge that. Certainly, there are concerns, legitimate concerns, that the conflict in Ukraine could spin out of control and become a great cataclysmic war. Others are concerned that China may attempt to violently grab, via invasion, the island nation of Taiwan. And throughout the past 80 years, regardless of being able to avoid a great war with millions of deaths, literally thousands of lives have been ruined by local conflicts. Such destruction, such lack of peace, is all too normal throughout human history. Now, Jesus claims, the Bible records, Christians celebrate that Jesus gives out of this world peace. Jesus said to his apostles, John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Take a listen to the following definition of peace as provided by the Bible Project.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole, it needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting, it also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom. And his reign would bring shalom with no end, a time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of Eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our Eirene. He was the whole complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
Obedience to the teachings of Christ is the prerequisite for peace, for shalom, for authentic, true, life-giving, and life-nurturing peace. Authentic peace, the Old Testament term is shalom, launches only when God moves into the situation. Humanity cannot fabricate, cannot bring peace in. Peace is a God thing, true peace, nurturing peace. Now, for the Christian, Holy Spirit infiltration begins at conversion when we repent and ask Jesus to become Lord of our life. The divine presence and teaching and reminding and influence and empowering of God the Holy Spirit begins at salvation. Baptism in the Holy Spirit submerges the believer into the personal will and mission of Jesus Christ. Please understand that true, authentic peace, shalom peace, can be frightening. Right now, geopolitics, Israel, the nation of Israel, is very frightened of the nation of Syria. The new rulers of Syria assure Israel that they want to live peacefully. Israel doesn't believe them, doesn't count on them, because the state of Israel and the nation of Israel have suffered so much since its founding in the mid-1940s. Without the presence and reassurance and empowering of God, the Holy Spirit, peace can be frightening, because peace is dangerous. It makes us vulnerable. True peace, Old Testament shalom peace, peace on earth awaits the return of our King, Jesus as Lord. Until he returns, Christ followers are called to be peacemakers. Peace on earth, that's God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to launch and nurture communities of peace. And these communities in the New Testament are called ecclesia. That's the term translated church. We Christians must understand that throughout human history, peace has been built upon decimation. The Romans would destroy outside cultures and replace it with their own Greco-Roman culture. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote about Roman peacemaking and said, they make, that is Romans, make a desert and call it peace. Since the 1940s, the nations of Germany and Japan have lived at peace with their neighbors. Tragically, those 80 years of peace result from those nations being decimated during World War II. The Allies deemed it essential to wipe out the Nazi culture, to wipe out Imperial Japanese culture in order to make peace on Earth. Humans build peace, what they call peace, on decimation, on destruction. Jesus challenges children of God to be peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Peacemaking begins with repentance. Peace itself is an alien concept to the unrepentant human. Oh, we can have peace if everybody agrees with me. That's doable. But true peace? It's alien. I want my way, and I want you to conform to my way. So true peace, shalom, begins with repentance. True peace, shalom, is built upon obedience to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And true peace and peacemaking depends upon the presence and the power of God the Holy Spirit. It's an alien thing to humans. It is a requisite for followers of Jesus Christ. So how do Christians become peacemakers? Here's my proposal. True peace is built upon Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. We begin by recognizing humanity's spiritual poverty. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Only when we recognize that humanity doesn't have what is required for peace can we begin the process of being peacemakers, because peace is about inviting God in. Secondly, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we must mourn the human condition, not excuse it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We live in a culture that wants to make excuses for the human condition. Jesus came to rescue us, to redeem us from our human condition. Third step is we are called to be meek, but not passive. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said, for they will inherit the earth. This week, a man named Kenyon Dobie was stabbed in the chest while a passenger on a light rail commuter train in Charlotte, North Carolina, because he confronted a man who was threatening other passengers. Kenyon Dobie said, "I guess it's better that it," he was stabbed in the chest, "I guess it's better that it, the stabbing in the chest, happened to me and not to an older person. I wasn't trying to be a macho man, but what I won't allow is an attack on random people for no reason, especially the elderly." The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines meek as enduring harm or injury with patience and without resentment. Jesus taught us to be meek, but not passive. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus then goes on to say that we should have a hunger to align with the ways of God. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." It's not about conforming with our culture. It's about conforming with the teaching and the truth and the righteousness of God. It's about revealed truth, not social justice. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount goes on, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Jesus is talking about mercy here, not tolerance. Dictionary.com defines merciful as demonstrating compassion toward an offender or an enemy. Who can forget this past summer? 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee Arina Zarutska was stabbed to death on a light rail train in Charlotte, North Carolina, the same place that Kenyon Dobie was stabbed this past week. Arina was stabbed to death by an unprovoked attacker who had repeatedly been released from confinement by judges who apparently confused mercy with tolerance. Adam Smith, who was no great Christian, claimed that mercy to the wicked is cruelty to the innocent. That is certainly what was experienced by that young Ukrainian refugee stabbed to death on a train in Charlotte, North Carolina. Chuck Colson said, "Few things are so deadly as a misguided sense of compassion." We live in a culture that celebrates tolerance, a culture that does not understand mercy. Finally, Jesus' teaching calls us to purity, not to popularity. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Authentic peace is built upon the teachings of Jesus. Authentic peace can only come as we invite God in and give him authority in our lives and in our culture. Because here is the true biblical hope. Jesus gives peace. John chapter 16, verse 33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In this world we will have trouble. True peace, shalom, is beyond us. True peace, shalom, requires the presence and the power of God and the obedience of repentant people. Our great hope, our great promise is that Jesus gives peace. Jesus said he has overcome the world, and Jesus alone can give peace, authentic peace, true peace, shalom. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27. "My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Receive the peace of God.